If we get our Bibles and turn to Genesis 37, starting at verse 14, and we'll read down to verse 28.
I got some supportive
scriptures that I will share with you. And I briefly touched on this before, but I didn't expound on it like I will today. But I want you to understand one thing. That the things that you're going through or your pit experience is not only for you, but it's for someone else. I want you to understand that. That's what we'll be talking about this. Because there's so many things that are going on today. And I can imagine that we find ourselves in a pit. But your pit experience can help someone else. I can imagine with this virus going on in our nation. And not only in our nation, I was looking at the statistics, and every country in the world has been affected by this virus. Some more than others. And as a result, it has sent people into a pit experience. I was talking about a few minutes ago that we let things work for the good, that even when things look bad, God can turn it around for good. So your pit experience is not only for you, but it's for someone else. I want to use Joseph as a text, these particular scriptures, as evidence to support what I want to talk about this morning. And we'll start at verse 14. Let me get my Bible out. Let me turn to it. And of course, we have Brother Steve. He's going to work the controls. Somebody say, thank God for the remnant. And one thing as a body of Christ, we have to understand that we have to step up sometime because somebody that might usually do something might not be here. Amen. And we need other folk in the ministry to be able to step up to the plate. So I used to work a job to where we used to cross train. You're in a specific assignment, but in your assignment, you learn how to do someone else's assignment. Because they might be absent. And that's okay, but that's what's so good about cross training. That you learn to do another specific job. So verse 14. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word. He gave him two specific things to do. He said, go check on your brothers. This was the daddy telling him. He said, go check on your brothers, and also check on our money. Oh, y'all like that. Okay. Check on the money. That's a twofold thing. He said, check on the money and check on the food. Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
He said, check on your brothers, which is important. Family come first. But I want you to stop by and check on the money and check on the food at the same time. And when you do that, I want you to bring me a report of what you found out about your brothers and what the money looked like. And look at the food and see if we're getting ready to get one of them to get prepared for the meal. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? Verse 16. And he said, I seek my brother. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. I guess the man was eavesdropping on the conversation. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto him, I don't know if they had no binoculars or not, but they seen him from a distance. They conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And somebody say, God blocked it. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that it is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down and eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Israelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to the carrier down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Israelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh and his brethren were content. Then there passed the Midianites, the merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So often, when we get caught up in a pit experience, our main focus always seems to be on the pit itself, and how did I get in here, and how am I going to get out? God uses our pit experience to shape and mold our character. He also uses our pit experience to develop a close relationship with him. See, we worry about everything else, but through our pit experience, what it should do is draw us closer to God, because he is our refuge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He is our present help in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He shall provide for us and lead us and guide us out of this pit experience. And sometimes we want it to be over with expediently, but God is working a thing in us. And so what we have to do, like I talked about earlier, let him work this thing out, because it looks bad. The pit looks bad. The pit is empty. The pit ain't got no water. The pit is claustrophobic. The pit is closed in. And so in that experience, we want to get out expediently, but God say, I need you right there. So Joseph had some great sufferings as his father's favorite child. If you read the whole history of the text, Joseph was hated by his 10 brothers and sold into slavery. They contemplated whether they wanted to kill him, they wanted to harm him, but these individuals was jealous of Joseph because he had favor. Yeah. And a lot of times when you have the favor of God on your life, people are going to try to drive you. They're going to conspire against you. They're going to have meetings on you. They're going to get on the phone and talk about you because you got favor.
My God. Amen. we find ourselves in a pit experience and we seem to don't know how to get out. But God is got us in the right place at the right time. We think we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, but God say, I need you right there because I need you to be led by me. I need you to hear my voice. I need you to follow my instructions, even in your pit experience. Joseph was hated by his brothers. They didn't like him. He had his coat on. He stood out. That was a distinction. He was able to see things. He was able. He had a gift that was on him, and even used that while he was in prison. Even when he talked to the baker, he was able to use something that was in him. See, God wants to use us.
Yes.
And every single one of us has something that God has given us specifically that we can impact ministry. And a lot of times we don't tap into that because we're too focused on the pit experiences that we go through.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And God said, I want to get you closer. But you're worried about this. That's what I was talking about. Don't worry about it. And we're worried about this. We're worried about the husband. We're worried about the wife. We're worried about the kids. We're worried about our finances. We're worried about our car. We're worried about our clothes. We're worried about our fingernails. We're worried about our heart. We're worried about our beard. We're worried about everything. Potiphar's wife, I'm just giving you a little history on Joseph. Potiphar's wife accused him of rape. Y'all remember? See, because Joseph was a handsome man. And Potiphar's wife, she was no earthly good because she was married, but yet she was looking at this young man. And Joseph, they say he was tall in stature, and he was a very nice looking man. And when she saw him, she wanted to lay with him. But Potiphar, he had faith. Potiphar had a relationship with God. Potiphar, he stood for righteousness. And even when she tried to throw herself on him, he got away from him and she lied on him and they put him in jail. On Joseph. Potiphar's wife. The butler forgot about him after he helped him get his job back. Only to remember later when Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted. Joseph learned a lot in his pit experience. He could have stayed there in that pit. He could have stayed there in jail, in prison, and every other place that he went to. He went to a country he didn't even know that language. Can you imagine how that would feel for us to be shipped off to China and they speaking in Japanese and you go and they speaking in Mandarin and all that and you go to an Arabic country even now if we went to Lebanon and we went to Iran and all that and they speaking Arabic and Islam, whatever it is they speak, we will be lost. He learned the Egyptian language and the culture. He also learned how to obey authority and persevere in the midst of injustice. He learned to trust and obey in God. Our pits in life are to build us up, not to tear us down. It's not meant to keep us in despair. So imagine if Joseph would have given up and died in that pit. I'm reminded that trouble don't last always. Can you imagine if Joseph, through his pit experience, would have just been caught up in despair and lost hope, but instead he was able to learn a language that he didn't know. He was able to trust and obey God. And through our pit experience, you can't climb out the pit. Because you don't even have the equipment to get up out of the pit. You ain't got no rope. You ain't got no hooks to grab up on. I'm just talking in the natural now. You ain't got no ladder. So he learned to trust and obey God through his pit experience that equipped him to be able to adapt and persevere through his pit experience. He learned the language. He learned the culture. thing that he could depend on through his pit experience was to trust and obey God. But just imagine if he would have given up and died in the pit. God allowed Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery, but didn't let them kill him. The Lord permitted the Egyptian authorities to throw Joseph in prison, but prevented them from taking his life. God restricted the length of time that Joseph suffered. So, can you imagine that God already knew that there was going to be a famine in the land? And that if he would have died in his pit experience, and that's the whole point that I'm trying to get to you, that your pit experience is not only for you to build up your character and to get you closer to God, but your pit experience is for someone else. And if you read on down the line, as you read through Genesis, I think from chapter 37 all the way through 50, somewhere up in there, that you will see that he became in charge over everything. He became the governor, so to speak, over the land, right? And he got specific instruction that God gave him how to deal with it and showed him how to be a good steward over the things that they had. And they began to store up things for things to come. And so what he did was, if he would have died in his pit experience, his whole family would have died. So his pit experience did not only elevate him and be able to equip him to be better and to be closer to God and to put him in charge and to give him some things. Much is given, much is required. So he got a little bit at a time. He got tests that he was able to pass, even Potiphar's wife. He didn't have no bitterness in his heart. And he even did a spirit check when he called all of them back to the table. He gave his brother Benjamin. He had to do a spirit check. Somebody said sometimes you have to do a spirit check. He gave his brother because they was jealous of him. Y'all remember? Because he had favor. And when you have favor, folk gonna be jealous of you. Folk that even fellowship with you. Folk that's in the church with you. Folks from other churches. They gonna be jealous of you, and they ain't gonna understand. They gonna be waiting because they want you to fail. And they didn't think that Joseph was gonna come up out of the pit. But later on, years down the line, they realized that this was their brother that was Lord and in charge. But he still had to do a spirit check because he gave his younger brother, Benjamin, a double portion. See, your pit experience is to make you better. It's to build you up. It's not to tear you down.
Amen.
But we can't waddle in our pit experience because the pit experience is not only for you, but it's for someone else. Can you imagine the mother that maybe she might have lost her marriage or maybe her husband might have died, that she would have went all the way down in the pit to never return? But she got children that still looking for at her, still depending on her. But through her pit experience, things got better. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. If you would have just wallowed in your pit experience because your husband died or because he left or whatever the case may be, it could have affected those that you was that was dependent on you. But through it all, it built you up.
Yeah.
It made you stronger. It helped you persevere. It made you seek out some more resources. It made you do things better.
Yeah.
And as a result, it affected those that were still attached to you.
That's
all right. Does that make any sense? So when he brought them all together, he went to crying. The Bible says that Joseph went to crying. When he seen his father, when he said, "Go get my dad. Go get my dad." And he brought all up to him and he set him at the table. And then while he was sitting at the table, he said, "Hold him up." He said, "Let me do a spirit check." And as he was giving them portions, because there was no food in the land, but he had all the food. And he gave his brother a double portion because he wanted to see the reaction of the other brothers. The same ones that was jealous of him. The same one was jealous of his favor. The same ones that wanted to do him harm. The same ones that threw him in the pit. The same ones that sold him into slavery. But his pit experience was not only for him, but it was for someone else. Turn to Psalm 40. Let's look at Psalm 40. I'm almost done. Chapter 40, verse 1. I just want to show you something. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Psalms chapter 40. So we're going to start at verse 1 and we're going to read down to around verse 5. Is that okay? So our pit is for our making, but it's to help someone else. If Joseph would have never endured or allowed God to use a bad experience for a good outcome, his family would have died in the famine. Chapter 40 of Psalms, starting at verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Somebody say, God will pay attention to you. If you cry out. He had to cry out to God because he was going through something. And a lot of times, instead of us crying out to God, we cry out to someone else.
Yes,
we cry out to someone that can't even help us.
Yes,
we cry out to someone that's dry. We cry out to someone that likes to gossip.
Yes.
We cry out to someone that ain't got no interest in God. We cry out to someone that don't mean us no good. But when he cried out to God, he said that God inclined unto me. In other words, he paid attention to me and he heard what I was crying about. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings.
Yes.
See, God is the only one that can pull you out of the pit of experience, but we have to learn how to cry out to God, not cry out to folk that don't mean us no good. And he had put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are they thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be known. God wants to bless you over and over and over and over and over and over. He's going to bring you out the pit, then he's going to bless you over and over. He's going to establish you going. He's going to get the mud off your feet. He's going to bless you over and over and over. And you can't even number. He's just going to keep on blessing. But instead of us concentrating on God, instead of us crying out to God, what happens is that we focus on the pit experience. And God wants to bring us out. He wants to establish our goings. He wants to put a new song in our mouth. But we have to learn how not to focus on the pit, but let God work it out. Can I give you another experience? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we talked about this young man before. But his experience that he was going through. Philippians chapter 2, let's start at verse 25 and we'll read to verse 30.
This man was he was sick. And I can imagine that his sickness could have had him in a pit.
Verse 25 through 30.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 30. Are you there?
He could allow his sickness to overwhelm him to where he could concentrate on his sickness and not continue to concentrate on God. But in this particular verses, he says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. This is Paul talking on behalf of Epaphroditus, someone that was very close to Paul, someone that was his right-hand man, someone that helped him with doing the things. You see what I'm saying? So we all need some help.
Yes, sir.
And so Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick not unto death, but God. Somebody say, but God. But God had mercy on him, and not only him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. See, Paul understood that I can't get down in the pits because I couldn't go in my pit experience because it wasn't going to be able to help nobody else. He said, but not only did he have mercy on the one that was going through, but he had mercy on me also. He said, but he wouldn't have had the mercy on me if I would have kept on being sorrowful upon sorrow. In other words, if I would have just stayed down in the pits and I wouldn't have been focused on him. He said, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. He did not let his pit experience or his sickness stop him from serving, being a servant and having a servant heart, not only to God, not only to Paul, but unto the people that weren't even doing nothing.
My God.
And so, through his pit experience, not only did it make him want to persevere through his sickness, but through his pit experience, it not only was for him to build him up and make him closer to God and make him want to continue to do the work, but by him continuing to do the work, it was a blessing to us. See, your pit experience is not only for you, but it's for someone else. Can I talk about the leopards? The four lepers, can I use them as an example? Is that a good example, Dick? That the four lepers, they had leprosy, and they couldn't be around other folk, and they had to be put outside the city. And the four lepers were sitting around, going through their pit experience, and they said, why should we sit here and die? He said, we need to make a move. We need to do something. Even in our pit experiment, because if we just sit here in the pit and we don't do that, we're going to die anyway. But why not us make a move and see what happens?
Amen.
And what God did, when he seen that they was depending on him, what he did was, he made a sound, didn't he? Is that what the Bible says? With these old scary soldiers that was already bullying these other folk that they couldn't even come out the city and they was didn't have no food, and they had all the food, and all the gym, and all the cattle, and all the horses, they had everything on side, outside the camp, and they were just kicking it and doing their thing, having a very good time. But God, somebody said, but God. See, but God, through that pure experience, he shook some things up, and when they scared themselves, they took off and left everything. And the four lepers in that pure experience, that they were led by God, it had to be God to lead them.
Yeah.
And it had to be God to lead them because he didn't
And the people that had put him out, they're supposed to get put out because leprosy is contagious. But God shook some things up and made provision for them in their pit experience. Not only were they could eat, because they did eat, but they took everything that they had got from the spoil, from these scary soldiers taking off, and they took it to the people that needed something to eat.
Look at God! Didn't God do that?
Yes, he did.
I think I got one more scripture before we leave this thing alone. Second Corinthians 12 and 5. Now, 2 Corinthians 12 and 15. We talked about this in discipleship hour. A while back. And Paul said it like this, because it had to be an experience that he was going through to get love and not get none in return. And though to not get love can send you into a spiral disposition. When you want love and can't get none. But Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and 15, he said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. In other words, even though I'm getting done wrong, I'm going to give all that I have. I'm going to be broke. I'm going to break myself trying to help you. And while I'm doing this, it got me feeling some type of way, and I'm in a pit experience, but I know my pit experience that it's to help someone else. It's not only for me. Because even though I'm going through this and I'm giving out everything that I have, I know that it's for a reason. He says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Because it's not about me. But through this experience that he was going through, messing around with these folks that's supposed to love God, that's supposed to know his commandments, that's supposed to be doing the right thing, that they were some of the meanest folks. But he did not hold back in his giving. I'm talking about giving in all that he had. He said that I be spent for you. I give out, I pour out everything that I had. And the thing that he was pouring out was love. Yeah. Even when folk was treating him bad. Yeah. Even when folk was talking about that I'm still loving you. And it's not a great experience. And it's likened unto a pit experience to be able to give out love and not get none in return. Yeah. That it wasn't just for me through this experience, but it made me stronger. And it gave me the ability to be able to do it, even though I wasn't getting nothing in return. But Paul, he said, I pour it out all. He said, I go for broke, giving love. Even though I'm not giving it back. Because it's going to be someone in the midst of me giving love that's going to be affected. Yes. And they might be that remnant that's in that that'll give love to someone else. Yeah.